Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team, every day. And Brett, where can they find you on the Twitterverse?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
Okay, you always have that friend who's really a friend of me or something like that, but that's what we got here tonight. Javi, before this weekend, I was a big Padres fan, but after what they did to us, man, I can't do that anymore. I can't say I'm a Padres semi-fan, but welcome from the Locked On Padres podcast, Javier Reyes.
What's going on, man? All right, first thing, though, that intro was incredible. You went right into character. It was amazing. I was like, oh, my God. Like, you were just kind of staring at the screen, getting ready. And then just, boom, it just went on. That was awesome. That was amazing. I'm glad to be on
Thank you.
Talking with you guys about baseball stuff.
No, yeah, really definitely. Great. So, Javi, where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me at @LO_Padres. That's the show account. And then my personal account is at @Javipeno, which is spelled JAVIIPENO. Lots of good stuff on both those accounts.
If you have some good taste and you want to get locked on the Astros, you can always do that on podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. When you get in your car, tell your smart device play podcast, Locked On Astros. So, Brett, I've never turned off an Astros game before until Saturday, and I'm just like, I can't do this now.
I know that, dude. That was absolutely Captain Insano. Like, I knew the whole like Grand Slam Diego thing, and they have the jersey and the outfield with the number 4, and how clever that is. Cool. And then I am digging the yellow and the brown. Like, who would have thought yellow and brown would make a comeback in 2020, right?
It's great, right? Yeah.
The pinstripes look amazing. But, you know, here's the thing, guys. I'm honestly not even mad that the Astros lost. Now, I'm pissed that they lost 3 in a row, but
they
I'm not
their
mad.
Pants. They pooped in their pants.
Well, but here's the thing. I'm not mad they got beat by the Padres, though. Like, the Padres are like this young team. They've got all this, like, vigor and swag. And, mm-hmm. I mean, they are what a baseball team should be, especially in a 60-game season. And so if I could give props to the San Diego Padres, because I'm always positive, always Stros, and I'll shed some light on some areas where I think the Astros really dropped the ball, literally. But, man, I mean, Tatis Jr. and, I mean, your catcher, Austin Hedges. I mean, all these guys and then these other guys I've never even heard of just coming up and just doing what they did. You're right. I actually turned in early, not only because the Astros are getting annihilated, but I actually had to do a lot of moving today. I made 3 trips in a U-Haul van to our storage unit. And guess what? I put our generator in the storage unit. So I'm ready for those hurricanes, baby.
Oh, man. You know, it's just so I didn't turn off the game early. But it was one of those things where I definitely felt better about doing something on the side while watching the game. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, the Saturday game was really, I don't know how to put it. It was just one of those games that just got out of hand quickly. It was like bottom second too. I think that's what's the craziest thing about it. And
yeah.
And look, I'm like, I mean, we all know the Astros thing. I'm not going to get into that right now. It's getting boring at this point. I'll do that on my own podcast anyway at other times, but it's definitely one of those things where like I was confident in the team. I tweeted out like, hey, you know what the next big story is? It's going to be when we show who's the top dog. I didn't necessarily know that. Right. And McCullers, you know, you got McCullers and I forgot who was the game 2 starter was. It was
Brandon Bielak.
Brandon Bielak.
He was not great. And I was, you know, McCullers was whatever, I guess. And then Greinke was just excellent, you know, and the Astros heading into the series, they were really good. And I think it was 8 in a row heading into the series. So I was not really expecting what happened this weekend basically at all, especially from the kind of starting pitching perspective. I just thought that the Astros, with the exception of Altuve, who's been struggling, that all of those guys, I mean, are just, it's ridiculous like how much depth they have. It's up there with basically the best in the league, probably in all of the AL. I'd say they have probably the best depth, especially with where the Yankees are at right now.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Just looking at the lineup, I can't believe that Altuve is batting higher than Springer. Like, he's batting 214 and Springer's at 200 now. What the heck happened? And this is just a weird season. I know all across baseball, it's a weird season, but seeing all the young players having fun, I think that's what Astros Twitter got from this series, is this team has forgotten to have fun. And we kind of saw that with y'all celebrating in game two, yada, yada, picking. Oh, y'all basically ruined the career of Brandon Belak. I just want to say that. And I'm going to go ahead and go all Mike Fiers and like say that y'all are using trash cans or what else can I say? Not buzzers. That's already been done. How about tambourines? That's what it is. Tambourines.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There you go, tambourines. I don't know, mate. You know, in California, they're very herbal. They're very natural, so maybe they, you know, maybe they hit the CBD. Hippie lettuce before. CBD, there you go. That's right.
What is going on?
No, I'm joking. I'm just – no, so I want to tap into that because I did see the same thing on Twitter where they were like, the Astros have forgotten how to have fun. And I don't necessarily know it's that they've forgotten how to have fun. It's they've been shell-shocked. Like Yordan comes back, their bats explode. Right. He hits a home run in his first at-bat. We've got Twitter mm-hmm. We got Twitter fans getting Yordan tattoos after his first home run. I mean, the whole city's a bust. Like, people who aren't even baseball players, hey, I hear y'all got Yordan back. And then he goes out for the season. JV's still an uncertainty. Osuna's still an uncertainty. You got all these uncertainties. Urquidy, I don't even know where the guy is. I think someone kidnapped him. I mean, where is this guy? They shut down the Corpus thing this week because someone that knew someone that heard someone that coughed on someone got exposed somewhere, and now we got that going on. And then, did you know that one of our bench coaches, Spire, actually was meeting with the umpires 2 hours after the game ended about that whole, like, Brandon Belak hitting Tatis with the changeup, right, yeah. And then they and then they warned both dugouts. You know what's funny about that was the Padres were pissed. The Padres mm-hmm. were like, "Why are you warning us? He didn't even mean to hit Tatis. He hit him on the butt. Like he yeah. got him on the butt cheek with the changeup." And this whole series was the exact opposite of what I anticipated. I honestly thought both offenses were going to go out and go off because yeah. you guys have been hot. We started heating up and man, I'm just shocked, especially like today's game or in Sunday's game, we put a 3 spot in the first inning and mm-hmm. then nothing right. after that. Like,
right.
how do you put up 3 runs and just shell a guy and then like you can't hit the ball?
Yeah, it's and first of all, to the first part you brought up about the shell shock thing with Alvarez, right? Like Alvarez is one of those guys where I'm not talking about the scandal stuff. Like there were some numbers on him that were a little bit like, are we sure he's going to replicate this, right? Like, are we sure that he didn't get a little bit lucky with some of the fly balls and stuff like that, right? But bottom line is, I thought he was going to be like maybe potentially that guy who comes back in and like adds that rejuvenation. All of a sudden, he's just out, and I was like, oh my god! Like, I don't know about you guys, this would feel like. This has been one of those seasons, and I imagine that you can attribute this to being, you know, a shorter spring training and or summer camp in this place, right? Like, there's just been a lot of injuries that have derailed teams, and I'm not talking just about, like, teams that have had games suspended for COVID. I'm talking just straight-up injuries and yeah. just aces that haven't been performing that well. I mean, you guys have yours. Greinke's been great, right? But when you look at, I mean, Max Scherzer hasn't been super great. Who else am I missing? Steven Strasburg's out for the season, yeah. right? Like, there's so many aces. I mean, Gerrit Cole for the Yankees, he's starting to figure it out too, right? But for the most part, there's been a stunning kind of lack of ace-like firepower, I feel like. And the Astros certainly – Verlander, duh, there we go. Verlander, and I know he's expected to be back, question mark, I think, at some point.
Yeah, we don't know. Okay. Dusty Baker is – it's like he's trying to be Phil Jackson with the whole like the other day. Hey, we actually had a guy who has done a voiceover for us that's like Thoughts by Dusty, and so we're going to be adding that to our show here in the near future. But he'll say things like, well, Yordan's knee is sore. All I can tell you is it's not in good shape. And it's like, thanks, John Madden.
It's not,
he's
like right now.
Yeah, he's like the John Madden of Major League Baseball.
He circles back because he says something, then he says something else, then he goes back and says the same thing over again at the end. So that's where I came up with the whole Thoughts by Dusty. And So yeah, it's just crazy. And who would have thought, and I you would appreciate this, Brett, the other day I tweeted this out. Hey, this is what Dusty Baker said. Hey, you're skinny ass. Why don't you go play cleanup in terms of Kyle Tucker?
Right.
So, I mean, Joe Kelly was all mad about that.
All right, serious for him. But yeah, I just think that the Astros, like, and Bregman's hurt right now too, right? And
yeah,
don't get me wrong. So much depth on that team, but I was still nervous. I'm like, you guys still have Correa, who I, of course, Puerto Rican power, I'm a big fan of. And you still have, you know, Springer, at least he's walking still to a degree. I think that I really genuinely think that the only guy that's just the Altuve thing, like he's never been a guy who strikes out this much. And it's up by like something like 10% from the last time I checked. It's like, what is he at, like 27% now? So he's been uncharacteristically not great, although he's been slowly.
Series, so this was
slowly coming back.
Well, this is the first game he didn't have a multi-hit game in like four games. So he had three or four in a row, and I think he was like seven for 15 or something like that. So he started heating up. He did go 0 for today, you know, and it's just such a weird year. I was actually excited we weren't facing Paddock. I was like, yes, we're not going to face Paddock. Like, that kid's a stud. I don't want to face him right now. Well, apparently Davies was good enough, you know? I mean, Davies went eight innings and seven strikeouts. I mean, other than the one home run, I mean, he looked like an ace out there.
And it's
I
crazy.
I think we should have had more John today. You see what I did there? You see what I did
there? More what?
Somewhat.
His name is More John, so I'm like, we should have had more John because we scored three runs off of him.
Oh, yeah, for real.
It's for real. It's funny that, like, you know, and it's funny that you bring up Paddock because Paddock hasn't even been, like, all that – untouchable this year really at all. I mean, he got roughed up by the Dodgers, and you know, some of the strikeout rate is just not up right now. I think it'll return to a little bit of a normal, but you know, his fastball control hasn't always been there. The guys that have been the best pitchers for us, for most people outside of the Padres, I think they'd be surprised. It's the Nelson Lamet and Zach Davies. And Davies, first of all, I mean, the Saturday game, just for him to be able to go eight was literally a godsend, because this is a team that's been struggling with their bullpen so much. It's been a disaster. I mean, Pagan, who I think got a little bit lucky. I think that those were that game out Friday save. I was like, dear Lord, there was two shots. I forgot by who. I think one of them was Correa. And I was like,
oh,
he's a fly ball pitcher. The first thing that comes to my mind, I was like, fifth blown save of the team. He already has four blown saves despite not really being the closer. So the Padres bullpen has been a mess. So that Davies start was huge. And this is a guy who throws, he tops out around 87, 88 miles an hour. He throws kind of like that same dumb, like I mean it, like dumb, stupid little like sinker, but it works. And that's what's crazy, is he's been such a revelation. And not to toot my own horn, but I thought heading into the season that the Padres secretly had a little bit more depth in their rotation than people gave him credit for. I thought, because Lamet didn't play last year, and Davies is a guy who, yeah, he throws 87. It's not, he doesn't freak you out when you see those numbers pop off the table, right? And Garrett Richards, like all these guys that you'd be worried about if they were your only like ace starter. But if they're like the back of the rotation guys, you feel pretty good about it. And I think that Davies especially has been just such a revelation for the team. And maybe something that maybe the Astros didn't quite expect, I think. Maybe that might be part of it, too.
Bullpen problems? You're talking about bullpen problems? Have you seen ours?
No, Ryan Pressly and the
rookies.
Stop it. You don't understand.
I mean, we've already used 22 pitchers this year. 22 pitchers.
So, the Padres bullpen is worse, but you do speak to another thing. Not only the starting pitching, I feel like bullpens in baseball this year have been pretty bad. I mean, we talk about Philly, my team and your team, like, I just think in general, bullpens in baseball this year, it's like it's become impossible to pitch one inning all of a sudden. I don't know what's going on. Like, this is a new phenomenon.
Well, I think all this goes back to the heart of the issue, in that we know that Rob Manfred admitted that he wasn't going to give more than 60 games. And had he put that out on the table and just said, look, this is the line in the sand, you either cross it and play or you don't play. And they could have had Javi and Eric a 4 to 6 week summer camp. They could have had a proper tuning up. And, you know, we even asked Jeff Blum, our local analyst, played for the Astros, played for the White Sox, you know, had a big moment in the World Series against us. But But Blummer said, you know, the world-class athletes, they should be able to get tuned up, you know, in a couple weeks. Now, they're going to be, you know, out of their normal routine. But he said, you know, they should be fine for the most part. But I don't think baseball, I don't think Manfred saw this coming. And these are what I call unintended consequences. And as a teacher, the seventh graders always talk about unintended consequences. Like you may do something and not have the intention of it negatively affecting you or someone else, but if you go through with this, it's going to have negative effects. And that's where I think we are in the season. You are seeing injuries. I mean, nobody can stay healthy. And I mean, the Padres though, if they keep doing what they're doing, I mean, they really would have to get to the Dodgers, because the Dodgers are like plus 60, 68 or 69 run differential. Their run differential is 30 to 40 points higher than the next team. It's unbelievable. And I kind of joked on Twitter. I didn't really get much back on it, but I was like, I wonder what the Dodgers are doing that nobody else is doing. Are they, do they have cameras in center field? And so I was just wanting to Stop it, you know?
Stop it, Brett. Stop it. No, I'm not letting you push this right now, but I think you're right though. 100% on the unintended consequence thing. This might just be a thing. And look, don't get me wrong, the Padres aren't, I don't think, necessarily suffering as much as the Yankees or even honestly the Astros, because of all those, the position player thing has been bad and you lost your ace. You know what I mean? Not only did you lose your ace at Verlander, you also lost the other one in free agency. So it was already like kind of a thing up in the air, right? And McCullers is a little bit kind of up and down, right? The Padres, you know, they lose Pham for the year, and then they lose Kirby Yates for the year, who, you know, looked like a disaster at the beginning of the season, but they still lost him. Pomeranz, who everyone was getting, got Jace Tingler, rightfully so, for a variety of seasons this week. Just, like, not a great week for Jace Tingler, Padres manager, starting with the Tatis thing, and I think he's walked it back, and I'm one of those people, I never like killing managers for literally anything. It's just one of my takes. I feel like all the time in sports, we love killing the coach, the manager, and using them as scapegoats all the time. Unless it's really, really bad. Example I think of in baseball is like Bobby Valentine for the Red Sox. Why do I bring him up? Because literally the same roster like won the World Series next year. So it had to have been that you were pretty bad, man. You just had to be, right? But I think in general, like this week, not a great week for Jace Tingler, and the bullpen management is such an issue. So while the Pirates haven't had all the injuries in the world to combat from, bottom line is people are stepping up, and guys like Myers and Hosmer, who were looked at as liabilities, really. Like, I thought that would be like they're like arguably, not even arguably, but Higher Cost is probably the worst first baseman of the league before this year. Now, all of a sudden, he got an OPS of 1,000. Myers playing fine in right field. The ball just, when it gets it, he had a goofy put out today, Sunday, when we're recording this. He had a pretty goofy put out where, like, he made it look like it was a home run, and then he's just kind of catching it, and he's goofing.
Right.
Like, I love Myers. I've always kind of, like, liked Myers. He's a fun, goofy kind of looking player, and he's kind of, like, got that happy-go-lucky attitude. He's fun to watch, right? Unfortunately, he's not always very good. Let me tell you guys, watching Will Myers when he's actually really good is infinitely better when he's not very good.
Right.
So it's just been watching this team, and Cronenworth, I mean, I always shout on the podcast, we aren't Cronenworthy. We still aren't. I mean, this guy has been a singles, doubles machine kind of for them, right? And he doesn't have the biggest pop in the world, bit of a pull hitter, but he's just come in and been that ultimate utility player. And I think that he's kind of a sign of, I feel like every team that breaks out, they have that guy you don't necessarily expect. You know what I mean? The Astros a few years ago, I don't know, maybe Gurriel, right? Maybe guys like him, and I can't
Gurriel.
Gurriel's like one
Gonzalez,
of those guys.
Marwin Gonzalez had
Marwin Gonzalez, had one of those, right?
He had a
like
career year.
That extra guy, that extra something, right? Who comes in and is great for the team. Not Bregman, he's a top kind of prospect. Correa, top kind of prospect, like all these guys. And then this dude comes in and it's just been this, he's played like every position. So I don't know if you guys could tell, I'm really excited about this team. And to get a sweep on the Astros, who, forget everything, they are one of the best rosters in the league, is just, I didn't expect that. I was hoping for one game. I was talking about my butt. I wasn't actually expecting them to be top dog around here or anything like that. But here we are, and I don't know what you guys are. Like, what are you guys looking forward to, I guess? Like, what's the thinking going ahead for the Astros?
Well, I know that I'm kind of looking forward to next time we play the Padres that Trent Grisham has some carb troubles, and maybe he's not going to a certain place and getting the right parts for his
maybe
automobile.
Well, so maybe
he can't hit three homers against the Astros in one freaking game.
Here's the thing. Maybe Trent Grisham has like car problems and he can't get to the game. Maybe he has a Kia or a Fiat, and maybe he needs like a battery starter or a gerbil in the engine to get going. But here's the thing. If he has a problem with this car, I've got a simple solution for him. He doesn't have to put a mask on. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to go to a store. He can go to his computer, type rockauto.com. It's a business that has been around for 20 years online, and they are phenomenal. They have every part you'll ever need. And you know what? They're not going to mess around with you like the umpires behind the plate trying to get you tossed out of a game. They're not going to give you a different price than they give a professional mechanic. They're going to give you the price they give everybody else. You know why? Because they're out there for average Joes like all of us. So anything you need for your engine, whether it's a, it could be a spark plug. It could be a hubcap for your car. It could be a bumper because you ran into that pole that you didn't think was there. Or it could be like the Astros when they ran into the Padres and they totally messed up the front end of their vehicle. Now they got to go to rockauto.com. So here's the deal. This is what I want you to do. When you go to rockauto.com and you get their part, where in the box where it says where you heard about us, put in Locked On in there. How did you hear? And then you let them know that we sent you. Because here's the thing, they have an amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts for your car that you'll ever need at rockauto.com.
Wow.
I've actually been thinking about this question about whether the shortened summer camp really affected these guys. And I'm thinking it's more they were amping up for camp for the spring training originally, and then everything was shut down. They're such a creature of habit, especially right. The older veteran guys, and they're so used to routine. And then all of a sudden, you shut down camp. Yes, you can go like Aroldis Chapman and throw in the driveway as much as you want, but that's not going to help you in real game situations. And I just think that we always see the starters kind of wear. Well, I don't know if they still do, but they used to wear the jackets in between innings and to kind of keep their arms warm. So it's all about routine with these guys. And a lot of these veterans, their routine is off. That's why you see some of these younger guys kind of excelling, because they're like, I'm here. I don't care about anything. I'm in the big leagues. But that's why I think you see a lot of the big names like Scherzer and other people kind of struggling. And it's just going to be a weird year, but we asked for this. We asked for baseball. We said, we don't care what it is, we just want baseball. I don't think I wanted to watch baseball without Alex Bregman, Verlander, Alvarez, and anybody else, and Asuna to a certain extent. But this is what we got, and the Astros have just got to play with the cards they're dealt.
Yeah, exactly.
You bring up a great point with the habit thing. Just really quickly, like, this is a sport where, like, when guys, there's a rain delay and it lasts for too long, they got to come out of the game. For starting pitchers, right? You can't just pitch for an hour and then have a 2.5 hour delay and just expect that guy to come back in. So imagine what it's like. It might be one of those things. I'd like to look more into it. Like, is it like for pitchers specifically that it's really hard for you to just be full drive? We're in early March, late February, right? We're ready. Baseball's coming. 2020 is here. Everything, right? And then just stop. I mean, that's kind of getting lost to people. It was stop. Like, it just happened, right? That's so – it wasn't like a warning, this thing might be coming, right? I mean, that's not how that works, right? And then all of a sudden, we just stopped. I remember it started with the NBA, right? I know this feels like eons ago at this point, right, when this happened. But NBA announces their season's done. Then baseball follows suit, like, a few hours later, right? And all of a sudden, we're just hanging out. So I wonder a lot, like, if that's probably playing into it. I imagine that, especially when it comes to health, just being able to stay on the mound, I imagine that might be a lot of with the whole, not playing summer camp and stuff. But you know what? Not going to lie, guys. You can call me a selfish schmuck. It's fine. I get it. But I must say, it's been working out for my team so far. Well, it's the best team that they've had in at least since 2010, at least. And it might be the first time they've been playoffs in a long time.
You're like, at least since Tony Gwynn. I'm joking.
I mean, so, we might have the best player on our team since Tony Gwynn. So
for real. So here's the thing. Tomorrow, the Astros get the Angels, and they come back home, I believe. Mm. And you guys get a day off. So y'all basically swept the Rangers and the Astros. And, of course, old Herb over there at Locked On White Sox talked about sweeping Texas. And I just wanted to say – sweeping the Rangers isn't exactly an accomplishment. They couldn't beat themselves up out of a wet paper sack. But you guys, after the 24th, y'all have got the Mariners. I mean, dude, the Padres are going to go on a Dodger-esque type of run here. I mean, you guys have got the whipping boys of the West, and it looks like y'all are going to make the AL West look bad. I mean, y'all are now 18-12. We are 15-13. We're still 2 games above 500. I would have loved to get at least one win this weekend. We could have gained some ground on Oakland where, you know, they lost the other day. But like you guys said, I remember Samantha Bunton, we actually interviewed her. She's with a couple different affiliates. She's done stuff on the national level. And she said in a sport where you already see 33% of the athletes get hurt on average, I can imagine that injuries are going to be a big issue. And this was before we had the restart. This is before. But like I said, and this is the reason why I pinned it on Manfred, is because even with that stop, they still needed more than 2 weeks. They needed 4 weeks. They needed 5 weeks. And it just – It ticks me off to no end that there was this total disregard. I mean, the players were literally jumping through hoops, bending over backwards, being contortionists, figuratively speaking, to say, okay, we'll do this, we'll do that. And then Manfred's like, ah, I was never going to have more than 60 games anyways. Like, what a jerk move. I'm sorry. like he's the guy that comes to the party and he orders, like, food for everybody. And then when they come deliver it, they're like, hey, can you pay for the food? Kind of like the uncle. You remember in Home Alone where Kevin's uncle.
I don't know if he's old enough for that.
Well, here's the thing. In Home Alone.
It's back.
It's okay. So Home Alone, Kevin's uncle orders pizza before they leave. And then his uncle's like total jerk, like makes his brother pay for it. And then he yells at Kevin when he messes up. He's like, look what you did, you little jerk. That's how I feel like Rob Manfred is. Rob Manfred is Kevin's uncle in Home Alone.
You know, it's like, I don't know what's more of a surprise rarity occurrence. The fact that the Padres hit 4 grand slams, consecutive games, right? Or that I am literally like the 5th youngest person at Locked On. Yeah, I'm the one that gets the youth jokes or whatever. Ryland Stiles is out there, you know, he's somehow skirted right under it. It's like that meme where the guy's like, you know, just hiding in the background or the Russell Westbrook when he's eating the food, like, and he's looking away from everything. It's amazing how I've been attached with that. But you mentioned if I could continue, you mentioned the Padres, they got that day off. And then they have Seattle, and then they have Colorado. Colorado is like, I mean, garbage truck on
fire.
They
don't look good right now,
the meanest way to say it. Yeah, it's. I think this is the vintage Colorado team. Great offensive players, right? I feel like when I was in around high school, when I remember, it's like it was Carlos Gonzalez and Troy Zielinski.
Was that like 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago, right? it was like Carlos Gonzalez, Troy Tulowitzki. Those guys are always awesome offensively. They start off hot and you're like, hey, the Rockies, they're so much fun because they hit 87, get scored like 100,000 runs a game, right? And then they fall off. And it's usually because of starting pitching and all these things. This time it's Story, Arenado, and whoever, and Blackman, right? Like they've got those three and some other decent players. And then they fall off, right? The Dodgers went in there and kicked their behinds, right? And so I'm not nearly as scared of them. And then after Colorado, they got the Angels, who I would argue out of every team in the league that had some type of optimism, not, you know, Miami and not these teams that are rebuilding, right? Even the teams that are rebuilding are doing okay, like the Orioles, right? I'd argue that the Angels are the most disappointing, like everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong for the Angels, right?
Like with they the are the, yeah.
Trout and Rendon, I guess, right? So I'm not too scared of them either. So everything's looking pretty okay for the Padres.
Well, here's what I'm afraid of. They are to Mike Trout what the Houston Texans were to Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson never won a Super Bowl. Andre Johnson never even came close. And
it's a great comp, yeah.
I mean, Mike Trout, I mean, for this guy to be as great as he is, and of course, I joke a lot about the loophole and the HGH rumors and all that stuff. The bottom line is, he's not a bad guy. Who comes back from like their first child and like crushes a home run their first at bat, and it's on an inside pitch,
bad power,
you know? And it's just like one of those things where I love competing against him. I want the Angels to be better because
I think everyone does. Yeah,
I mean, they're spending all that money, but they keep spending money and it does nothing for them.
Yeah. I think they're one of those teams that's kind of stuck in that position you don't want to be, where you keep, you clearly don't have the depth, but then you keep always right when you kind of escape some bad contracts, maybe. I mean, they still have this Pujols contract that they're dealing with, right? Who's literally just playing at this point of his career to just up that home run total pretty much. And they've got like a bunch of really bad contracts on that team. And he's being paid like, yeah. And they've got these guys, and you don't get me wrong, Rendon's great. And Mike Trout's great. And even Andrelton Simmons is pretty good. But then right when they have these, you now have the Upton thing. Looks like one of the bigger albatrosses in the league, right? Right up there with the Cespedes contract and some of the other ones out there, right? Like this freaking Justin Upton chose a terrible time to just completely implode, right? So, you know, the Angels are definitely one of those teams out there for sure that you wish could be a lot better. But for the sake of the Padres, they're not, hopefully they could stay bad. If we get, I'm definitely projecting far away. Like, who knows if the Padres fall into a tailspin too? But after this weekend, man, like, what do you think? Do you have any good takeaways for the Astros that you felt good about?
Well, I do want to say, without looking at the stats, Javier, I think you know the Astros team a little bit. Who do you think's leading the team in RBIs? Who's the top two?
I would guess Gurriel, just because the way you know it's not Gurriel. So then it would be Kyle Tucker.
Yep. He's leading with 20. This is a guy that the Astros fans have bashed for years because he hasn't done anything. And he's batting cleanup now, but this is better. Who's the second highest with 17?
Oh, man. Is it like a catcher? I don't even know. I don't even remember who. It's the catcher? I don't even remember you guys' catchers. I just remember Evan Gattis for a few years ago. I forgot who it is right now.
Martin Maldonado.
Right. Okay, there we go. Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, that just goes to show that all of their stars stumbled a bit out of the gate. Some of them have come back. Not Altuve, obviously. But, man, I don't know, man. Just the Padres, like, it's funny how you mentioned Grisham before. By the way, just incredible transition by you guys. It's almost like you guys have been doing this podcast together for a while, and you have like developed chemistry and stuff. But the Grisham thing, like Grisham was in a little bit of a slump lately. Not like a bad slump. It wasn't a Altuve type of slump, but it was like, you know, he's batting like 200 around that area, still walking, which is what's great about him, right? He's an on base of like 370, 380 guy. He's excellent at taking pitches. This was like his bat game. That's what's so funny about the Padres. Right as someone else seems to be cooling down, the other guy steps up. Manny Machado, he's struggling. Didn't matter. Tatis is just a god-tier player in the league right now, right? And then, all right, so, and then Machado steps up, right? He steps up for them. Then Will Myers chips in every now and then. Hosmer and Cronenworth. This is a team that just, I think clearly the chemistry's there. And now it's not just a question of can they make the playoffs, but it's like, can they be kind of memorable? Can they have some more moments like the Grand Slam that they had against I know, I love how I have to like be specific on the Grand Slam. Like the walk-off one from Machado. Machado's playing like a superstar again, like he was in May and June of last year for the Padres. So everything is just the momentum's on their side. And I'm wondering for you guys, this would probably be like one of my last questions. Do you expect the Astros to make any moves at the trade deadline?
No.
None.
Do not. I don't think, number one,
they don't have
anybody anymore to trade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All their farm system is our pitching staff. Mm-hmm. All our farm system. So most nights teams are playing the Round Rock Express or the Corpus Christi Hooks for the most part. I mean, that's really what it's turned out to be. Mm-hmm. And so it's just one of those things where, you know, coming up, our schedule is LA, Oakland, Texas, LA, Oakland. I'm thinking that we win most of those games, but I don't know. I mean, you saw what happened this weekend, and although the Padres have been great, nothing to take away from you guys, but we shouldn't have lost all three of those games. I mean, we should have won the game today.
I think you probably could have won that first one. I think the first one, especially because it wasn't bad McCullers, who's been up and down, like we said, like, and I really thought that Pagan, like, there's another universe where those fly balls go out. You know what I'm saying? And I was on edge the whole time. Or you can, and then the Padres fans and myself could take it the other way and be like, positive regression. We finally got a good outing where Emilio Pagan didn't get lit up like crazy, right? But I think that this afternoon, maybe a little bit, but Machado's so great that you can maybe chalk that up to just a superstar doing things. But I definitely did not expect a sweep. And for the Padres, just the trade deadline stuff, in theory, yes, they should be making a trade. But I wonder, and I wonder if you guys agree with me, I wonder if we're getting any trades in baseball this year. Because who is going to be like, and especially when it comes to rental type trades, who is going to be like, yeah, we'll take your, we'll give up a prospect for your reliever who's been great for you as a rental in a shortened season, that it's not totally inconceivable that a bunch of teams, things go wrong and the season gets shut down, right? So, like, right. Who's going to do that? Do you guys think that we're going to get, like, any kind of trades at all? Or it might just be, like, little, like, cash trades. Like, we'll give you some guy that nobody talks about, 40th guy on the bench, farm systems for cash. Like, do you think there's going to be any type of trades in the league? Or maybe even any in your division that might affect things?
No, nothing like the Zach Greinke trade that affected the Astros last year. And I don't think, for every reason you just mentioned, there's not going to be a big trade. You'll have some baby pieces, like somebody like only one I could come to my mind is Tony Sipp. I don't know if he's even playing anymore, but just somebody like that, just somebody to kind of
Tommy Watson or, you know, a Tommy. Yeah. Just like some sort of relief arm, but I don't think you're going to see bats being traded. Plus, something someone brought up recently is, like, we could be in the midst of three shortened seasons, because after this season, if the collective bargain agreement doesn't,
that's right,
like 2021, we don't know what's going to happen. But then after that, we have like this deal. If a deal doesn't happen, I mean, you saw how well they get along in negotiations. They absolutely suck at it. And so, I mean, we could be in the midst of unprecedented times with baseball. And if baseball's worried about anything, they need to worry about their marketability. And I learned one thing when I was younger, when I was probably your age, Javi, that perception is reality. And if the perception of MLB is it's old, they can't get along, it's too long, they can't even call a strike. They can't even call a 95-mile-an-hour strike down the heart of the plate, and it gets called a ball. Like, the game is kind of broken. And Manfred's really helped break it even more. I mean, he's taken the broken pieces and shattered the broken pieces. And so, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do.
I think I do agree with you on the relevancy. I mean, this has been a thing for baseball forever, but I think there's slight hope. And I think part of it might be, I'm not saying that, and look, I'm someone who thinks that baseball game length is fine. I'm one of those people who I think it's fine. I think the season's too long. I don't know why we're playing all the way until September when nobody cares. I mean, football's on. Like, that's just the fact, right? Football's on. Nobody cares. People like playoff baseball, though, and I really think that means something. I think, man, if you could somehow shorten the season to, like, August being the month when it's the playoff hunt, because nothing's happening in August. Not even movies coming out in August. No video games, nothing, you know what I mean? And I love that stuff, so I could tell you, right? And if you could shorten that and maybe make it that they start up in September, maybe it would bring a little bit back. And I've noticed that some of the ratings have been up. Can you attribute that just to the fact that everybody is staying inside and they have nothing to do? I don't know. Maybe that. Or maybe there is a genuine, like, people being like, hey, like, it's kind of interesting, baseball, like, where it's at, and that every game feels like it matters infinitely more. I wouldn't be as freaked out about this Astros sweep if I still knew that we had, like, 140 games left, right? I would still be like, oh, I can still blow it at any second, right? And still, baseball's in that situation where they need to monitor those ratings and viewings and be like, we cannot just have it that our sport is viewed by 65-year-old white guys, basically, and that's it. Like, that's their main – that's not how advertised – that's not what they freak out for. It's 18 to 24, around there, right? That's what shows you there's growth and that the new generation is going to be here. So I'm hoping that we kind of get there. I'm hoping that maybe Manfred, if he can do anything, maybe start looking into trying to do what I did. Maybe shorten the season just by a little – not to 60. Not saying 60. It's helped my team, but not saying 60 games. But shorten it just a little bit. I'm telling you, if you could cut off that month, if you can get into the dog days of summer, make that your month, and then September you start the playoffs, maybe it could be one of the ways to bring some excitement back to baseball, and more importantly, just relevancy, you know, and have it that the number one story isn't Fernando Tatis and unwritten rules, but more like the number one story is how good he is. You know what I mean? And it's more of how good all the Astros guys, right? How good players are. Like, have that thing that the NBA and the NFL are. And I feel like I've been preaching it and going on so long, so I'm going to pass it off. But yeah, I just think that baseball, they need to figure out something. And I am not Manfred's slander will receive no dissent from me. I'm not going to continue it, but I definitely do not disagree. Rob Manfred has not been great in a lot of ways. And I think people have seen that this year.
Speaking of, before we wrap up the show, speaking of interesting people, Zach Greinke, I know you watched him. You probably watched your Padres face him for many, many years. What's different about this guy? I know that he threw that, 54-mile-per-hour pitch today. What do you see that's different?
Well, that was just a flex on his part to throw a 54-mile-an-hour pitch to a guy that just less than, 24 hours ago hit three home runs in a game, right? And I think people at home, how did you not hit that? I think these guys are just used to seeing anything at minimum at 77, right? So it just probably freaked them out. And also Grisham's one of those guys who's a very patient hitter. So he was probably just like, what in the world is that? I think if there's anything I've noticed, a little bit of confidence, I think, with him. I don't think it's anything when it comes to peripherals. With peripherals, he's just better. Okay, cool. Statistically, he's gotten better. But I'd say there's a confidence in him. I feel like there's a boldness in him. I think you saw it this week or maybe last week with the telling the batter what pitch was coming, which even I, as someone who's mad at the Astros still, even I found that pretty hilarious. I was like, wow. And I actually like that. Have weird stuff, man. Have drama. Good drama, though. Drama that's people flexing, people bumping their chest in a way that feels appropriate. You know what I mean? Tatis mean mugging the dugout. You know, you kind of want stuff like that from when he hit that home run 2 weeks ago. That stuff is cool, but I'd say – that's the thing with Greinke, and I know he has some social anxiety type of stuff. So it's really cool to see that. I feel like he found his kind of group of people that he rallies behind.
He's comfortable here. They let him be him, and that's what the Astros have always done.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things I loved after he threw that Evis pitch, which, to be honest, I have 12-year-olds this season that throw harder than 54 miles an hour. Okay, and I mean. But what was great was the next pitch. The next pitch, he spotted an 89-mile-an-hour fastball in the bottom outside corner, low outside corner, just spotted it perfectly. And that's why he throws a 54-mile-an-hour. I remember Mark McGwire swinging and missing on an Efus pitch from, I think, Charlie Huff. I think Charlie Huff was with the Blue Jays or the Rangers. I think the Blue Jays, I think. And he threw this Efus pitch, and Mark McGwire swung and missed, and he just couldn't stop laughing. But another great Zach Greinke moment, when they were repairing the mound, he was sitting down in the grass, and one of my guys at Stros 411, Corey Hightower said, he goes, Zach tells me all I need to know about life. When people are working on things around you, you just got to sit in the grass. Like, he just sat there, because I tell my boys, dude, you never sit down. Like, if there's an extended timeout, I don't let him sit on the base. I don't let him sit down. But I'm like, what is this guy doing? He's sitting in the grass. Like, he's Zach Greinke. And like Eric said, he's got a confidence. He's got a trust here. And we've embraced that. And I think for all intents and purposes, I mean, he's a great guy. He's just a good guy.
It's cool. It's cool. If the Padres are going to win, I don't mind that Greinke was excellent with the game afterwards, you know what I mean? But he's definitely not a guy that I root against, for sure. In baseball in general, it was, and he looks great. He's been one of those constants, and I think that, in a league that's struggling with the pitching, like we've talked ad nauseum today about, it's been big for the Astros to have that one pitcher that they just feel like they can trust every single time.
Javier, next time the Astros face the Padres, I'm gonna ask them to be a little bit more respectful of the authority, and they should bow to the Astros and all that.
But, we gotta be, hey, sir, is it okay if I swing at this pitch, sir? Sir, okay, we're good. All right, there you go.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's all we got for this Locked On Astros podcast. Make sure you tune in every day, and don't forget to go check out my friend Sully over at the Locked On MLB. I'm sure he's ranting about something else today. And that's all we got, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.